My name's Chip. I'm a believer in Christ that struggles with pornography. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak through me, that your words would pierce the hearts of the folks that are here, and that those that need to hear this message would, and that you would use it to impact lives. In Christ's name, amen. I introduced myself as a believer who struggles with porn. Well, let me back up. So earlier today, I was really nervous about tonight. Normally, I don't get nervous about public speaking, but I was nervous because right before then, I grabbed these 15 pages that I had typed up, and I started to read through them. And if I would have continued to read through them, it would take me about 30 minutes to do so. A couple years ago, I held the record for the longest teaching or testimony time, and I no longer desire to be recognized as that person, okay? So I have done my best to cut this a little bit, and I'm going to share with you the part that I think God really wants you to hear. I hope to share with you how God has used His Holy Spirit, His Word, and His people to impact my life. You know, as I love music, I love worship. God really teaches me and speaks to me through worship. And that's a big part of why I continue to come every Monday night. The song that Eric led us in earlier, we lift up our eyes. We lift up our eyes. You're the giver of life. There's a lot of truth in that song. That song is describes my life on two different extremes. When I fail to look to Him, when my focus is on myself, when I try to find life on my own, it's only caused pain in my life and the lives of those around me. But by God's grace, again, His Holy Spirit, His people, and the Word, I'm continually reminded that life can only be found as we submit to His Lordship on a daily basis. And so that's what I want to share with you tonight. I grew up in Plano, Texas, with a sister and two parents who loved me the best that they knew how. My dad was a good provider, but he did not have a relationship with the Lord, and we did not have much of a relationship. He traveled to provide, and so we were distant. To my dad's defense, he didn't have the best example of a father either, because his dad traveled to provide for the family, and they were not close. Both men struggled with control and anger, dysfunctional behavior that was modeled well for me. In addition to all the fun things and the material things and the nice home and the family vacation and the different experiences that my dad provided through the rewards of his efforts at work, he also provided me easy access to pornography. My dad had a subscription to Playboy magazine, and I saw my first pornographic images when I was about 5 or 6 years old. I was intrigued by what I saw, and I continued to go back to those magazines. Thus began my 30 years of addiction to porn. Pornography became a way of escape for me. It became a fantasy world. It became a way for me to cope with pain or insecurity or fear, or when I just wasn't feeling well from a health standpoint. It was also a way for me to gratify myself sexually. And growing up in this environment, in Plano, I also excelled in sports and school and was considered a leader amongst my peers. but I had this secret sin that just ruled me. And all of these things contributed to me developing a distorted worldview. I thought that life was what you made of it. Our security, our value, our sense of identity, pleasure, were all found in things of this world and what others thought of us. By God's grace, I learned how you could have I learned of His love, and how you could enter into a saving relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, after my sister came back from a Pine Cove, a summer Christian camp. And so I trusted Christ with my life as my Savior in junior high. But I continued to struggle with porn because I didn't tell anybody. I thought I was a pretty smart kid. I knew what I wanted in life. I felt like I knew how to get it, and I was determined to make that happen. 1 Corinthians 3:18 and 19 says that, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in his age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God." Life at this point, and for many years to come, was all about me. The sad thing is I didn't know it. I didn't realize how selfish of an individual I was, how self-centered I was, how every relationship I had was all about me. My dating relationships became sexual. My male relationships were all about how this individual can help me get to where I need to get, accomplish what I want to accomplish. And there was no real relationship. If they couldn't help me, I didn't want anything to do with them. By God's grace, back up. From about 9th or 10th grade year to the end of my sophomore year in college, complete rebellion. Alcohol, smokeless tobacco, and porn were how I dealt with life. By God's grace, He began to get a hold of my heart again the end of my sophomore year. And that summer, I turned 21 and I quit drinking. Not because I felt like I had a problem with drinking, but because God had put me in a position of leadership at my school, and I had a choice to make on what kind of leader I was going to be. Was I going to lead for myself, or was I going to be the kind of man that God wanted me to be and honor Him? And so I chose to do that, and so I quit drinking. That was easy. The porn continued to rule my life. Later that fall, I met Allison, and we began dating. We continued to date for several years, and at one point I shared with her that I had grown up with this struggle of pornography, but didn't really get into the details, and certainly didn't share with her that it was a recent struggle. Shortly after we graduated from college, we got married, and 2 weeks before we got married, she confronted me, and I admitted to her that I had continued to struggle during our engagement while we were away. And so we enter into this marriage relationship that's just a train wreck. She felt like we should postpone the wedding until I got help. Through my control and manipulation, I convinced her to go through with it and that I'd get help after we got married. After all, I wouldn't need to turn to porn once we were married. And I really believe that to be true. But I could not have been more wrong. A couple years into our relationship, once again, it surfaced, and I admitted to her that I'd been struggling. Finally, for the first time, really sought help. I went to the pastor of the church we were attending at the time, and he put me in contact with a friend, another guy that I knew. I didn't know this was his struggle, but this pastor did. And so Ron and I started meeting for accountability on a weekly basis. And we did this for about 2 years. And it was okay We learned how to manage our behavior better, but we never really dealt with the root issues, the heart behind the behavior. And so we would get together on a Tuesday morning or so, and you know, every once in a while we'd confess if we had blown it. But really my life and my thought process and my decision-making process was more about, if I do this, I'm going to have to share it with Ron, and I don't want to do that. And so I'd white-knuckle it when I felt tempted, because I hadn't dealt with why I even wanted to go there. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." My life at that time could be described as, while I was a believer, every decision I made was about my will. And when I prayed about it, I would pray that God would bless my decision. It wasn't what God, you know, God, what do you want? And how can I be a part of it? Well, Ron and I stopped meeting because we moved to Chicago. And once again, I was free to do whatever I wanted to do because I didn't have the accountability. We were in isolation. The pressures of starting a new office built up, and the porn crept back in. By God's grace and sovereignty, a couple years later, through some brightest circumstances, we moved back to Dallas. This is where it gets kind of choppy because I've chopped some of this up, so bear with me. So in June of 2001, we moved back to Dallas. We knew some families that had started a church called Watermark and started attending ourselves shortly thereafter. One of the guys that started the church also helped start this ministry here at Watermark, this recovery ministry at the time we called Celebrate Recovery, and he asked me to get involved from a leadership standpoint as they were thinking through starting it. And for a number of reasons, I came up with different excuses and told them, no, we can't, I'm busy, whatever. The reality of it is I had no business leading a ministry, especially one about recovery, because I was not doing well at that time. About a year later, January of 2003, I finally got up the courage to come again after about a year of my friend encouraging me to get involved. And so I did. January 2003, I started coming to recovery here at Watermark, and I came with the purpose of learning how to manage my behavior better. But what I found through that process was that pornography wasn't my issue. It was one of the ways that my issue surfaced. My issue was much deeper than that. My issue was rooted in pride and idolatry and a love of self. It was all about me. 8 months later, the wheels came off. It was a Friday. I'd been invited to go to a leadership conference that Watermark was having over in Fort Worth. My friend that started this ministry said, "I'll pick you up at 2:00. I took that day off from work, that morning off. I'm at home with Allison and my kids, and Allison says, "Hey, do you mind watching the kids while I go run some errands?" I said, "Sure." She leaves. I get on the computer. One thing leads to another, and I'm just finding everything I can to feed my flesh on the internet. She came home, didn't say anything to her about that. I go to this leadership conference, don't share anything with my friend that we have this 45-minute to an hour car ride with. And that next morning before the conference starts, Todd says, "Okay, before we do anything, we're going to go spend some time with the Lord." He passes out a list of accountability questions, and those questions just rocked my world. They were just, you know, "Have you looked at anything that you shouldn't have? Have you lusted? Have you..." And it was yes, 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 yes. So the conference is over. I come home Saturday night. My birthday was Sunday, and we celebrated like nothing had happened. Monday morning, I go to my accountability group, and for the first time, I confessed what I had done Friday with those guys. And one of them says, "Chip, have you shared this with Allison yet?" And I said, "No." He says, "Well, do you think you should?" I said, "I don't know." I knew I should. I went to CR that night, and I remember grabbing Nate and Kyle and sharing with them what had happened, and once again their response was, "Have you told Allison?" And I hadn't. But they encouraged me to do so. I knew those two guys and the guys in my Monday morning group would hold me accountable doing so. So I got home Monday night and I proceeded to tell Allison what I had done just a couple days prior. And that really hurt her. But by God's Holy Spirit, she also knew that that wasn't it. And she proceeded to ask me, what else? What led to this? Why? What happened? How do you go from doing well to Friday just jumping on the internet? And I said, well, it just happens. Once again, I was in denial and I was lying and being deceptive. So through the course of that week, she knew that something was up and she continued to push. And I came home on Friday expecting to go out to eat as a family and go have fun and have fun for that weekend. And I came home to an empty house. She came home about 5 minutes later without the kid and said, I don't know what's going on, but we need to talk. I know there's more and you're not being honest with me, and we're going to sit here until you are. After about 2 hours of hemming and hawing and not saying much and saying nothing's wrong, and if you know what's wrong, why don't you tell me, and playing all those ridiculous games, I finally said, do you really want to know? And she said, yeah. And so for the next several hours, I proceeded to tell her about the last 10 years of my unfaithfulness, my struggle with pornography, fantasy life, emotional affairs, things of that sort. And along with anger and hurt, one of her responses was, Chip, I don't even know who you are. And I said, you know what? I don't either. Because I didn't. But I said, you know what? I can't wait to find out who God created me to be. And I asked her if she would join me on that journey, and she said yes. And I'm grateful. And that was the turning point in my life and in our marriage. And things have not been the same since. I wish I could tell you things are perfect or have been perfect since then, that I haven't had any mess-ups or relapses, but that wouldn't be true. But by God's grace, I am taking ground. And He continues to work on this broken heart. A couple verses that really impacted my life at that time was Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Since then, God continues to use His Holy Spirit, His Word, and His people to sharpen me and help me become more the man He created me to be, as I learn that God is faithful to all His promises and He loves me despite the rebellion of my past. As I mentioned earlier, I grew up with this distorted worldview, and so since that time, Romans 2:12 could not have been more true for my life. And it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And so God has used this ministry of regeneration or Celebrate Recovery or Recovery at Watermark, whatever you want to call it, to impact my life and help reshape my worldview. One that is centered on the truth that He reveals to us in Scripture, and one that I am blessed to have a group of men and others in my life to hold me accountable to being the man that God created me to be. Hebrews 10:23-25 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. If you don't have a group of men or women in your life that are encouraging you to continue to love and good deeds, encourage you to find that. God continues to work my life, breaking down my pride, molding me to the man he wants me to be, and I'm thankful, even though it's very painful at times. How much time do I have? A couple more minutes. Here's where I want to wrap up with. So, since then, again, my life has looked completely different. About 5 years ago, four years ago, I had an opportunity to go over to Africa with the team from Watermark. And we went over there with the purpose of teaching on leadership and conflict resolution, teaching biblical principles on conflict resolution and leadership. I had an opportunity to go back a couple years later and do a recovery conference. Last September, I had a chance to go to Haiti, and in about 6 weeks, I'll be leading another team of about five guys from this ministry back to Haiti, and we're also going to have a chance to teach a conference, and we're going to talk about recovery there. But the thing that hit me on that trip, that first trip to Africa, we're talking about leadership and conflict resolution, is a couple years before then, I would have had no business teaching a conference on leadership or biblical conflict resolution because I was not leading myself well and I had conflict in my own life that was unresolved. But by God's grace, through His Holy Spirit, His Word, and His people, He changed my heart. I grew up, again, with knowing what I wanted to accomplish. I was going to be this huge success, and I was going to provide for my family all these wonderful experiences. We were going to travel the world. I wanted to go to Africa. I thought I'd be going on a safari someday. When I had a chance to go a couple years ago, I never would have dreamed that that would have been true. And the fact that He did it, He knows the desires of our heart. He knows that I have an adventure for travel. He also knew that He was going to provide that opportunity. I just had to surrender to Him and do it His way, not my way. I'll end there. I've got 20 more minutes worth of stuff, but you guys got small groups to get to. A couple verses. I'm doing a Wagner. I'll end there. A couple verses that he continues to impact my heart with remind me that he's not finished with me yet. One is just helping me, reminding me to stay focused on eternal things, and that's Colossians 3:1. If you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things here on earth. And I still wrestle with that. I still feel like at times I'm in control. And he uses my lovely wife and guys in my life to remind me that I'm not. And I'm still wrestle with my selfishness. But Philippians 2:3 and 4, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with all humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also the interests of others. Getting involved in regeneration has helped me take the focus off of myself and learn how to love others and serve others. I hope my story of grace encourages you wherever you are in your recovery. I hope it motivates you to get real with others and start living in the light. I hope it reminds you that God is faithful to His promises, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, and that real life, the abundant life that He desires for all of us, can only be found in our relationship with Him. If you haven't trusted Christ as God's only provision for your forgiveness and salvation, I pray that you do so tonight. And if you have, I pray that you would continue to grow in your relationship with Him and that you trust Him in all areas of your life. Thanks for letting me share.